The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 14th, 2020.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
To Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and co-producer. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day it is here in Sonoma County. I have a very, very special guest joining me on the phone this morning is Shakina Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center here in Sonoma County. She'll be giving us an update on some of the activities happening at the Peace and Justice Center, and we're going to talk about how the center is handling the pandemic and how she's doing during these times. And, you know, maybe she's got a little bit of information on some of the other nonprofits in our county. I mean, everybody's struggling, everybody's Zooming, people are working at home. It's just amazing how we're all coping. We had a special producers meeting last week for KBBF, and I want to do a shout out to our president, Alicia Sanchez, and the board of directors, and also to our program director, Edgar Abiella, and all the programmers that have been working diligently to keep the radio station alive and keep it on the air. I mean, it is amazing that here we are since March 7th, and we've been here every Monday, live and ready to go. But thank you, guys. Thank especially, you know, all the programmers. You know, some people are pre-recording. Some people are coming in. Some people are going, working out of their homes. But we're making it happen. And I'm really proud. And I know a shout out to all the community radio stations and how they're surviving. It's just amazing. You know, like I do every single program, I remind folk that our history is our strength. And it is our strength. And today is December 14th, 2020. We're 37 days from the inauguration. We're only about 20 days from the end of 2020. I can't wait till it goes. I mean, this has been one of the most challenging years that I can remember. Not only the politics that's going on, but the weather and the fires and the economics and whether to wear a mask, not to wear a mask, outdoor dining, not outdoor dining. We're going to shut up. We're going to shut on. We're going to, you know, I mean, you just name it. And it's been happening. And, you know, I pulled a card this morning. They're called the Goddess cards. And it said, you know, a lot of us have fear, but let that fear guide us. Let it direct us. Let us show us our strength and what we can survive. You know, it's a very, very challenging times. And the most important thing is that we come together as a community. Well, like I said, our history is our strength. And on December 14th, 1961, that was 59 years ago, the President's Commission on the Status of Women is established to examine discrimination against women and ways to eliminate it. The President's Commission on the Status of Women is established to examine discrimination against women and ways to eliminate it. And that happened on December 14th, 1961. That was 59 years ago. And I want to do a shout out to our president here on the Commission on the Status of Women, Trish Allman, who leads the meeting and does all the things that it takes to keep the commission going here in Sonoma County. I want to do a big thank you to her and to all the commissioners, and to all the board of supervisors who appointed these wonderful women to this board here in Sonoma County. So happy birthday, 59 years strong. And let me tell you something, there's been many, many attempts to get rid of that commission, but it's still alive and strong here in our county. And also another thing that happened on December 14th, 1985, I love this name, Wilma, I guess that's how you pronounce it, W-I-L-M-A, Wilma Mankiller whoa, is sworn in as a principal chief of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, the first woman in modern history to lead a major Native American tribe. And that happened on December 14th, 1985. Wow. Just think about that. Hundreds of years, and she was the first woman in modern history. Amazing. We've come a long way, baby, but I'll tell you something. It's taken us a long, hard road to get where we are. It's just amazing. Well, we've got some great birthdays coming up, you know, and one of my favorite people was born December 13th, 1903, and she made her transition in 1986, is a name that through Van Jones, who was appointed by President Obama, and that's when I first got hold of his name, and he talks about the Ella Baker Center, and here it is on December 13th, that was yesterday, 1903, and she made her transition in 1986, Ella Baker, organizer. She tried to develop local leaders for civil rights campaigns, but found male leaders in the NAACP quite unwilling to delegate power. What does that mean? Unwilling to give a woman power? She helped lead the Southern Christian Leadership Conference until Dr. King took over and worked with the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. You know, I know, you know, I can see it. You know, I read the headlines today. It was so interesting. I mean, today they're voting on the Electoral College, you know, to signify or to accumulate to make sure that this is the person who's going to be president. They vote today. And I understand that they're having to be taken to their sites by armed guards because they're being threatened. They're being threatened by white ring extremists. And you know what I want to say to these people? You should be protecting our democracy, not threatening it. We had an honest election. In some states, the votes were counted two and three times. There were 54 court cases that were thrown out. The Supreme Court itself said to keep going on and move forward, that there was no corruption, there was no problems with the voting. All you people out there, you should be supporting democracy. You know, I mean, it was democracy that gave us all the things that we have, our freedom, your freedom to carry guns. We need to take care of one another. We are the United States of America. Read what it says on our Statue of Liberty. When my grandmother came over from Russia and she got off the boat at Ellis Island, she kissed the ground. America. I'm in America. I don't have to be afraid anymore. Well, now there's a lot of fear in our country. There's a lot of fear and a lot of anger. And the only way we're going to overcome this is to keep our eye on the prize. And the prize is our Constitution, which is forever flexible, forever a document that is working towards making us free people. You need to be, all of us need to protect that, not to fight and to threaten it. I mean, it really makes me upset when I think about it. And I'm sure people like Ella Baker would agree totally with me, because it's the African American people who stood up so strong during the civil rights movement because they wanted the rights, all the rights that we have. Why do you think they struggled so hard? Because we're a free people and we need to defend our democracy, not defend lies and treason. Okay, that's enough of that. Well, there's another great birthday that came up that one of my heroes, I would say, and Ken and I were talking about it. Sounds like it's one of his heroes also. On December 16th, 1901, and she made her transition in 1978, was Margaret Mead, renowned cultural anthropologist, author, lecturer. And, you know, she's famous for this quote. And listen to this, because, you know, we just had an election. More people, I think we had something like 65% or 68% right here, you know, in the United States coming out to vote. Each one of us voting, every single one of us voting voting for who we, the people, want to have in leadership. That is the beauty of our country. We have elections. What do you think the civil rights movement was all about? I remember seeing a film with President Johnson and Martin Luther King, and King said to Johnson, "You know, John, you know, you'll never have freedom. We'll never have freedom. We'll never have rights until we have a secured right to vote." The right to vote. What a beautiful thing it is. That's what we should be protecting. The right to vote. Whether we agree with someone or disagree with someone, we still have that right to go in the polls and stamp that this is who we want to lead us. And then, when the results are in, we shake hands. Sure, we feel disappointed. You know, I've lost an election here and there. Of course you feel disappointed. I mean, I've lost, you know, I was a corporate sales manager. My God, if I lost a big sale, I would be depressed for 2 or 3 days. I had to pump myself up so I could keep going. Of course you're going to feel bad. And on some levels, I have some pity for our president. How difficult it is for him to let go, because I think it's haunting him, like, oh my God, I'm a loser. It's okay to lose. The most important thing is you won by just running. By just running. Speaking of running, I want to do another congratulations, a wonderful congratulations to Natalie Rogers. Natalie Rogers is going to be the vice mayor of our Santa Rosa City Council. First African American woman to be on the council, and now she's going to be vice mayor. Congratulations, Natalie. I am really excited for you. Well, I want to say this. This is what the quote that Margaret Mead was famous for. "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed individuals can change the world. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has." And one of the things that changed the world and one of the things that changed this election is that people all over the country were willing, individuals were willing to write postcards to other people in other states, encouraging them to vote, encouraging them to go to the polls, encouraging to participate in the most important democratic action we can take, and that is the vote. Amazing. I'm going to play a great song for our break. You're going to really love it. Well, there's one more thing. You know, we can't forget that this year, 2020, we were celebrating 100 years since women got the vote, the 100 years of the 19th Amendment. Oh, ladies, 100 years ago, we got the vote. We are standing on the shoulders of so many women who gave their lives, their energy, their time, their money, their lives, their bodies, so we as women could become equal and vote. The vote makes us equal. The vote says we are all free citizens of our country, and we have a right to vote, and we have a constitution that keeps us that way. And we must never, never lose sight of that. You know, I know I'm kind of lecturing, but you know, I've been thinking a lot about it. And it's so important. It's so important that we value that we live in the United States of America, be proud of it, and protect one another. And shame on those 126 senators that wanted to overthrow votes.
Congressman,
excuse me. I thought it was senator. Oh, it was congressman. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, here's one last thing. Like I said, I don't want to forget about our suffrage. So on December 17th, 1853, that's when she was born, and she made her transition in 1945. And that was Harriet Taylor Upton. She joined the suffrage movement in 1890 when converted by Susan Anthony. Actually, Susan B. Anthony. I like that. I'm Elaine B. Holtz. Susan B. Anthony. I like that. She became the treasurer of the National American Women's Suffrage Association. She testified in Congress and managed the suffrage campaign and ratification drive in Ohio, held positions in the Republican Party, defeated, and she actually ran for Congress and was defeated at the age of 70. Happy birthday, Harriet Taylor Upton, one of the women whose shoulders that we are standing on, one of those women that stood up and says, we have a right to a voice. We have a right to vote. We are citizens of a free country, and we will not be discriminated against anymore. Amazing what these women did. And we can't lose sight of that. I mean, I can't believe some of the ways that women vote or don't vote. I mean, I think, you know, our history is our strength. I mean, that's why I bring up the history every show. I think most of us are ignorant about our history. We don't pay attention to it, you know, and it's important. I remember when I went to junior high school, I couldn't graduate unless I had a civics course. I remember Mr. Ritterhoff. I'll never forget it. I mean, what a great class it was, studying the Constitution, finding out why my grandparents wanted to come here, what type of country I lived in. It made me proud. It made me feel strong. It made me feel I could do anything because I had choice and I was free to make those choices. Well, that's a lot to think about. But, you know, I hope that's what Women's Spaces is all about. Get you women out there thinking. Well, let's get to the serious stuff now. happy Hanukkah to all those out there that celebrate. I know I've even got friends who are not Jewish that are celebrating it. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful holiday. We light candles. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Hanukkah. I didn't even know about it myself. You know, here I am, 80 years old, lighting the Hanukkah candles probably for most of my life. And I didn't even know what the heck Hanukkah is all about. I mean, I had some sort of idea about oils and everything, but when I looked it up, it was just really amazing. Okay, the name of the holiday is Hanukkah, and it comes from the Hebrew word for dedication, consecration, or inauguration. Amazing. Hanukkah is a Jewish festival that reaffirms the ideals of Judaism and commemorates, in particular, the rededication of the Second Temple of Jerusalem by the lighting of candles each day of the festival. Although not mentioned in the Hebrew scriptures, Hanukkah came to be widely celebrated and remains one of the most popular Jewish religious observances. Now, one of the things about Hanukkah is you light a candle every single night. And it was a celebration. Let me read this to you. Hanukkah is celebrated in several ways. Okay, and one of the things is that when the Jews had a certain process going on. Here it goes. Some non-religious customs celebration are eating treats fried in oil, which recalls the miracle of the oil. So what it was is they needed oil for 8 days, and what ended up happening is they thought they only had oil for one day, and it ended up that they had oil for 8 days. Would that be a kind of a conclusion, Ken? So it's a very spiritual time, and it's also a time to let people know that somehow spirit takes care of us. They thought they only had oil for one night. It ended up for 8 nights. And so we celebrate that. And when I think about it, I don't even think of it as a Jewish holiday. I think of it as a way of saying thank you, whatever you believe in, for giving us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, for giving us homes. So many of us are homeless, and those who have homes, they have to sit down and really appreciate them. So happy Hanukkah to all my Jewish friends and all the people out there who celebrate. You know, it's hard. It's hard today. So much prejudice, so much racism. Maybe if we all joined hand and lift candles together and enjoy Hanukkah, you know, a little Hanukkah gelt. You know, they have all kinds. They have a little dreidel. We used to play little games with it. And then, you know, you got a present every day for the 8 days. I mean, it was much better than Christmas. And Christmas, it was only one shot. Excuse me. With Hanukkah, you know, you get one present every day. When Ken and I are lighting the candles, we just give each other, excuse me, Ken, we just give each other the the blessing of a kiss. As you can tell, I mean, I'm trying in my own way to be a little bit festive, and sometimes it's a little bit difficult. Well, December 14th is another important day. Energy Conservation Day is observed every year on December 14th. The day focuses on making people aware of global warming and climate change and promotes efforts towards saving energy resources. It is said that our energy resources may last only another 40 years or so. Oh, my goodness, another 40 years or so. You know, I have a great-grandchild. I mean, she'll be 42, and then we're out of resources? Come on, we got to wake up, folks. So here, happy December 14th, Energy Conservation Day. And a shout-out to all those environmentalists out there who are working so hard. I mean, I must get 3, 4, 5 emails a day about something that's going on in the environment. So it's really amazing. Well, another thing, I mean, December 14th, I'm telling you something, that is a really, really, really interesting day. I'm going to, it's 12/14/2020. Let's see, 3, 5, 4. Wow, it's a 12, which is a 3, just like my beautiful great granddaughter. She's a 3. And 3 is like the balance. Things are balanced. So today's a pretty powerful day. And here's another powerful thing that's happening. The Sagittarius new moon on Monday, December 14th, 2020, is a total solar eclipse. It is joined by the planet Mercury. So the spiritual meaning of this new moon, December 2020 astrology, relates to how you think, and how you communicate. Very interesting. The December 2020 solar eclipse is also in good aspect to Mars. This gives the energy and initiative to set new goals and set on your plans with confidence. However, always got that little however in there. However, a harsh aspect to Neptune means you must listen to this. At this time, you must protect against deception and also infection, especially from the coronavirus pandemic. So it's really interesting. We're having a solar eclipse today. It's a very, very powerful day. And like I'm going to say it as I did at the beginning, for all those of you who are coming out with your guns and making ruckus and saying, oh, you know, the vote is a hoax and all that other stuff, the virus is a hoax, stop and start beginning to protect us. We all need to protect each other. We need to come together as a country, as a people who accept our democracy and to move on. Lots to think about. Okay, boy, I'll tell you, when I get on a roll, I get on a roll, don't I? But, you know, the show to me is very important, and I'm so happy that when we come back after our musical break that I'll be talking to my dear friend, Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center here in Sonoma County. She's a woman I really admire. I admire her tremendously, and I know we're going to have a lot to share. Well, you know, one of the things I try to do is I'm always trying to get songs that are sung by women. You know, a lot of Bob Dylan songs, you know, a lot of different protest songs. You know, all of a sudden I go on to iTunes and I find women that are recording. But this particular song is called My Vote, My Voice, My Right. I can only find it by one person, and that's Roy Zimmerman. So I'm dedicating this song to all those wonderful human beings who worked the polls during our last election and all the counters. Oh, God, I believe Georgia's votes alone were counted 3 times. It's amazing to watch democracy at work. Amazing. And then when we come back, I will be talking to Shekinah Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center. She will be giving us an update on what's happening with many of our nonprofit organizations and how they are coping, and a personal account on how her and her family are faring. So let's go ahead, Ken, and listen to My Vote, My Voice, My Right, sung by Roy Zimmerman.
Way back when they said all men, they meant every wealthy European male. So back then, to vote required being white and being rich and being male. They said, you can't vote if you got no property. You can't vote if you're not free. You can't vote if you are a woman, 'cause you got no stake in democracy. Year by year, people had to ponder what the Declaration must have meant. By all men, clearly it was time for an electoral adjustment. And they won the vote for those who had no property, won the vote for those who'd been freed, won the vote for women in America. They wrote it down, it was guaranteed. They all said, it's my vote, you can't deny it. My voice can't take it away. My right, I won't be quieted. My vote, my voice, my right. My vote, my voice, my right. Rights are right, but without a fight it can't evaporate and float away. And by night there were those who came around and tried to take the vote away, saying you can't vote, you haven't paid the poll tax. You can't vote, you can't pass the exam. You can't vote for fear of retribution. And the people stood up and said, well damn, it's my vote, you can't deny it. My voice can't take it away. My right, I won't be quieted. My vote, my voice, my right. My vote, my voice, my right. So my friends, get to know your candidates and register and rock the vote. And beware, always in the shadows there are those who want to block the vote, saying you can't vote, your machine isn't working right. You can't vote, 'cause you're going to school. You can't vote, you registered improperly. You can't vote, 'cause your lines are too long. Say you're gonna use it, say you'll never lose it. And if they ask you whose it is, just say it's my vote. My voice. My right. It's my vote, my voice, my right. It's my vote. You can't deny it. My voice can't take it away. My right, I won't be quieted. My vote, my voice, my right. 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 My vote, my voice, my right.
Oh, my vote, my voice, my right. You better believe it. I mean, we have learned through this process of electing a new president, my God, what the vote is all about. My voice, my right. My voice, my right. My vote, my voice, my right. I can't say it enough. Anyway, for you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my dear friend joining me on the phone, Shekina Black, who is the coordinator for the Peace and Justice Center. Welcome, Shekina. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Well, thank you, Elaine. I really appreciate it. And I just want to add that I became executive director last January. So I was the coordinator for 4 years, and then I've been serving as executive director of the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County for a year. I'm truly honored.
Another woman in power. How wonderful. I love it. Listen, before we begin, I would like to tell my listeners just a little bit about you, if that's okay with you.
Yes, yes.
Shekina Black is a longtime Sonoma County resident. She's the executive director of the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. Up until the initial shelter-in-place orders due to the pandemic in March, she was also producing and promoting shows at the Redwood Cafe in Cotati. She and the music team had won the Bohemian Music Award for Best Venue in 2019. Well, congratulations. Congratulations on becoming executive director and being awarded for the best venue. Because I know, you're a hard worker, my love, so it doesn't surprise me.
Well, it takes one to know one.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add here?
Well, just about the Peace and Justice Center. Can I talk about what's going on there?
Well, before we go into that, I want you to talk a little bit about yourself. Just before we talk about the Peace and Justice Center, if that's okay with you. Is that okay with you, Chiquina?
Sure.
Yeah, what I'd like to know is I'd like you to tell my listeners, you've been on the show several times. I think of you as somewhat of a regular, and that's why I invited you on to do this little piece. Talk about how you and your family are coping with this pandemic. I mean, how are you working? Are you working on the phone? Are you doing Zooming? And how is your family coping? And are you having any issues with masks?
Well, my family is coping, I'll just say that, and quite well. We really stay rather isolated. I am working from home for the Peace and Justice Center, primarily. I do have to go up once or twice a week, for business, but we are not open to the public at all. We're not open, so I feel safe there. And some members of my family still continue to work, and some are not, that with the mass layoff that happened. And so, I rarely go anywhere, which is so interesting. It's like I do drive-through banking for the Peace and Justice Center. I don't go into the bank, and I go to the grocery store, and I go to the gas station. And that's pretty much it. There might be once in a while another rare errand. But primarily I'm home, and personally, I feel like I'm doing well because I keep very busy. I don't watch television. When my kids were younger, I didn't have television. We didn't have cable, let me put it that way. We would watch movies and things like that. And so I do watch things online, but I regulate myself, and I don't let myself get over-consumed with news because I think it can really bring you down. I think it's important to know what's going on, but not to be inundated. So I keep really active, doing gardening and other projects to keep my spirits up, because you have to.
Well, what I notice the same thing for myself. I listen to some shows, and all of a sudden I just have to shut them off. I says, no, I can't go there. Or sometimes I'll read the newspaper and I say, no, I'm not going to finish that article. I don't need to know anymore. I know things are challenged right now, but right now I have to keep my spirits up. So I think that's very important. So thank you for sharing that. I think listeners, they need to hear that we're all struggling. And we're all doing the best we can. And I like what you said. You try to keep your spirits up. You keep busy. You work in your garden. That's what we do. We work in our garden. And for those of us who do not have gardens and do not have that kind of situation set up, just go out and take a deep breath. Go outside. Just feel the sunshine on your face. Do something that makes you feel good. Well, now we're gonna get into your favorite subject. that's the Peace and Justice Center. So, it's been a while since we've talked about it, and I'm curious myself. Give us a little bit of history about the Peace and Justice Center, its mission, and what do you feel is one of the most, or several of the most important functions that they do there?
Well, the Peace and Justice Center has been in existence for 36 years, so I think that is a huge accomplishment for any nonprofit to be, a vital and vibrant part of our community for that long. So I'm honored to, be involved with this organization. And a lot of what we do at the Peace and Justice Center is being a resource and a help for other nonprofits and kind of linking people and individuals and events together. So being more of an umbrella nonprofit rather than, specific, although, we do have a specific mission statement people can read on our website, which is PJC SoCo.org. So I encourage people to go there. That's the most up to date. We do post on Facebook, and I do send a weekly e-newsletter, and people can sign up on the website to receive that e-newsletter. So I think we're really relevant still, even though so much of what we were doing had to stop because of the pandemic, meaning we are no longer printing the Peace Press. It's only online on our website, and I send a link in that e-newsletter. But that was always such a wonderful social time for people to come together and collate, folding, and, you know, working on the Peace Press together, and that stopped, you know, and all the meetings we hosted for other like-minded groups, you know, that those just completely stopped. So there is a sadness and a grieving definitely with that, you know, and I hear from people, and I hear loneliness from people who maybe are not living with family. And so I regret that with the Peace and Justice Center, is that we're really not open except just for this donation drive that I hope you'll ask me about. But other than that, we are closed to the public.
Well,
and
I
even
noticed,
that is a safe thing, yeah.
I noticed that, you know, like you said here, you have the Peace Press that's now it's online. And as you were talking, I just felt this clump, you know, in my heart. You know, as all of a sudden it came, my memory became refreshed to how many meetings that I've gone to, how many wonderful presentations that have been there, you know, and like you said, the socialization of everybody collating the Peace Press. I mean, that was like, to me, that was like the women, you know, gathering around, you know, when they're washing their clothes in olden times, you know, just talking and letting folks know all about them. So it's really it's really been it's been a challenge for all of us, and I understand that. That's really it's really, really very, very difficult. And then I noticed, you know, if people want to get there, you have all kinds of different links here that you're helping people link. Are there any programs like right now? I understand there's a donation drive going on.
Correct.
And it's called donation drive for the houseless and the fall appeal drive. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So the donation drive for the houseless was implemented by our newest board member who's been with us almost 2 years, who is Adriana Jones, who I just have a great deal of admiration for. You used the word when you were introducing me that you admire me, and I likewise admire you, Elaine, and we're in the mutual admiration club, you and I, for a long time. And then I want to bring Adriana Jones into that, too, because she is a person who walks her talk. She says, I'm going to do thus and so, and then she does it. And so she has worked, actually, she was working as the kitchen manager of St. Vincent de Paul's for a couple of years, and unfortunately was recently laid off. And she said to the board, I still need to be working with the homeless. I want to do this donation drive for the houseless. So every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., people can drop off sleeping bags, blankets. It can be gently worn. It definitely needs to be cleaned and in plastic bags when you drop it off. And it's really easy. And people don't even, if they don't want to, you know, jump out of their car, they could just pull into the parking lot and somebody will come and get it and put it there. And then we're getting those items to the people who need them, and also groups that are working directly with the homeless, you know. So I feel really good and positive about that. Our 2020 main goal was to work and help the homeless, and so the board unanimously decided in 2021 that would be our major commitment as well. So that's really good. And then you asked me about the fall appeal drive. We do two appeals every year, spring and fall. And I have to say, this time around, it is so serious. It was serious in the spring as well, but usually this time of year, we have three major fundraising events and also fun community events. For example, Winter Blast. We were the nonprofit sponsor of that for several years. And so we received grant money. We also received monies for being one of the beer and wine locations. And so that is gone. That came off of our docket, and normally we would do that in November. Also in November, we would do our annual award ceremony, which is not just about the fundraising, being it is our number one fundraiser of the year, but more importantly, we were giving awards to individuals, and there was always a group organization that would get an award. And so it was really a community event.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Fun, gathering. Yes, I know you and Ken have been many times to that event, you know, but we'd have entertainment, we'd have speeches, and, you know, eat food together, eat a meal together and everything, and have a great silent auction. So that one is off the radar because of the pandemic. And then finally, on New Year's Eve, for the past few years, Redwood Cafe, one of the owners of Redwood is also on the advisory board of the Peace and Justice Center. That's Michael McCullough. He would generously donate a portion of the ticket sales from the New Year's Eve show back to the Peace and Justice Center. And it was a significant, you know, amount for our small nonprofit. So those three major events are not happening. We are not getting any of those monies. So we're strictly relying on the generosity of people who are, most people, financially impacted adversely because of the pandemic. So we're asking people, hey, can you think of us anyways and give something to our fall appeal drive, which the letter went out recently, and I'm happy to say we have been getting checks, and also people can donate online through our, there's a PayPal link that is on our website.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. All nonprofits right now for exact, you know, the community radio stations, everybody needs support. And, you know, money is hard. You know, what I did was, and I'm on, you know, fixed income. You know, it's kind of interesting when you retire, you know, you really have to be careful with your dollars. But what I did was, is I've set $50 aside, $50 a month aside. And I know that might be, for some people, might be a hard thing. And find maybe five charities or five nonprofits that you can support, and maybe you become a sustainer for $10 a month. I mean, that's what I would like to see people do with the station here is, you know, become a sustainer, donate $10 a month, you know, to five different nonprofits. You know, that's $50 a month. And some people, I know, I realize that for some people it's a stretch. Maybe $5, maybe $2. You know, I mean, I remember during this whole election, I could not believe how many appeals I've gotten. I love that. You're calling it the fall appeal drive. I love that. Instead of fundraiser appeal. It's a great way to put it. But I noticed during the election, you know, I don't know how many times I gave $3. That's all they ask for, $3, you know, and I go, okay, I can afford $3. So it's fundraising and appeal raising, all these things are very, very, very challenging. And my heart goes out to you. But you know something, somehow, some way, we are all going to survive. And we're going to take a musical break. And when we come back, you know, all those things that you mentioned, oh my God, I mean, I forgot. In my own mind, I mean, I've never heard it in one, you know, kind of in a few sentences, all that is happening at the Peace and Justice Center. I mean, it's mind-boggling to see how much work and how much effort and how much community involvement is. So when we come back, I would like to talk about, you know, some of how you feel people are coping. You're saying you're getting phone calls. You know, what are some of the things that are happening? But we're going to take a musical break now, and I'm going to play a song by Earth Mama. I love her, Joyce Roos. I had her on the air with me. She's amazing, an amazing woman. And she wrote this song called Made for These Times.
Mm.
You know, and I think it's very interesting when you think about it. You know, like the first song I played was My Voice, My Vote. You know, it's so important what has happened with this last election. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but I've been making an appeal to those people who are out there threatening the, you know, the Electoral College and everybody else that's trying to run the country, that they should be protecting us. We live in a democracy. What the heck are they thinking? What are they doing?
Exactly.
Who are they listening to? Come on. We live in a free country, free enough for you to carry a gun. You should be protecting that democracy, not making fun of it, not hurting it, not terrorizing it. So it's very interesting. So let's go ahead and listen to Made for These Times. And when we return, we will continue our conversation with Shekinah Black, who is the executive director for the Peace and Justice Center here in Sonoma County. So let's go ahead, Ken. Made for These Times.
And roots, hearts and brains,
Yes, we were made for these times. I think of all the meditations, all the prayers, all the lessons, all the reading that I've done that prepared me for these moments. And I'll tell you, folks, read something positive every day. It really helps. Read the pledge. My self-esteem does not depend on anything outside of me. My self-esteem depends on my relationship with myself and my higher power, however you see that higher power. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I am in conversation with a dear friend of mine, Shekinah Black, who is the Executive Director for the Peace and Justice Center here in Sonoma County, and we are going to continue our conversation, and we're going to include some tips on how to cope with the pandemic. You know, what are you doing while you're staying home? And, you know, the holidays coming up, all these things that, you know, all these memories that say, oh, my God. God, will it ever get back to quote normal? So let me ask you this question, Shekinah. You know, you've been getting phone calls. You know, what are people saying? What is the attitude, and what kind of suggestions you're making? I know you believe in healthy eating and exercise. So talk a little bit about that and some of the phone calls you've been receiving.
Sure. Well, I think a lot around the election, I was hearing from people who I could hear the fear. Just fear. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not in that same place. I'm, you know, aware of what's going on and everything, but I've worked on myself a lot to not go into fear, you know, and to really focus on other aspects of our emotions. And I think that's really, really important. And I think, one of the first letter that I wrote, so every, you know, when I do this weekly e-newsletter, in March, I had written, use your time wisely. Now, this is when we thought we were going to be locked down for 3 weeks. And so, you know, now we're into it, I think 9 months. It'll be 9 months, right? And that's really intense. That's something that I don't think any of us really foresaw. But I still want to say that use your time wisely. And so, once again, you know, we talked about television and, you know, it's like it has its place and stuff, but do you want to get sucked in there? Are there projects that you have been wanting to work on? For example, at the beginning of the pandemic, there were like buttons I needed to sew on. I had a bag of mending projects. So then I do not sew with a sewing machine. I know you're blessed to have that talent. I do not have that talent. But I can sew a button, and I can sew when, you know, a little seam needs to be mended. So I was so happy to have that done and to feel like, oh, I just did something really productive. But I also think we need to have fun. So one thing I've been doing is, I'm going to call it art journaling, although for me it's really collage. I have this notebook that I started in 2002, 18 years ago. And I know because there was a date. And then once in a while, you know, every year I do a little something in it. And then I found this woman online. I'm going to just give a shout out to her. She's in England, the Unexpected Gypsy. And that's one of the things she does. And she kind of gave me permission to paste over old pages that I didn't like anymore. Maybe something I had written, it wasn't relevant, or I don't love my handwriting. And I just started doing that. And then on Friday, on the 11th of December, she said, you know, usually we'd start a new art journal in the new year, but I think we need to now. And I thought, oh, that's ridiculous. Maybe I'll do it on the solstice, the winter solstice. And then I pulled out an old journal that it was a prosperity journal, and there was a lot of things about bills I needed to pay from 9 years ago, and it's not relevant, and there's a lot of blank pages. And so I had such a great weekend working on that, and I play instrumental music in the background, and I get lost in it. And I would just encourage your listeners to do something creative, and it could be art journaling. There's a woman who calls it glue booking. It is not pretty. I am not an artist. I'm not any way an artist like that. But it is something I feel so fulfilled with doing, cutting up magazines, all kinds of things. I like textures. So, you know, if there's a thread, you know, I like how it feels, or something twine, I put that in the book. And I don't know what it is about it, but apparently I'm not the only one who's getting into this. You know, it's an old school way of coping.
It's interesting what you said, and you also said you listen to music without words.
Yes.
And I think that's what is so important during this time, that we have to cut down on how many words we're hearing, because oftentimes those words create more fear, more anxiety, and more mistrust. I mean, what I'm seeing right now is because there are so, you know, we have this huge network of news, and they're on 24 hours a day, so they have to have something to say for 24 hours. So sometimes when you watch the news cycle, you hear the same thing over and over, and you begin to think, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. So it's really important to listen to music, to get away from words. You know,
exactly.
And also, you're coming up here, we're starting to wind down here. The show, I mean, God, time goes by fast when you're in the studio. You know, we're coming upon the New Year's, and one of the things that you said, you know, one of the things I just want to remind my listeners, I usually send out and request from my guests if they would send five questions or five issues that they want to talk about. And one of yours was, what is your New Year's Day practice of setting a theme for this year? And I'd like us to set a theme together. I want you to set a theme, and I'm going to see if I can get me and Ken to set a theme. So what would your theme be for 2021? Like, thank God you're here. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, usually I do this where I want people to choose one word, and I've been doing this a number of years, and it becomes difficult. Some people are like, oh, I just need to do a phrase or something. But if you can hone it down to one word, and then you kind of make that your theme for the new year. And I have to say, I'm going to choose, since you put me on the spot, I'm going to choose what I chose the last 2 years. Usually I mix it up, but the last 2 years I've chosen the word justice, and I just have to do it again because the world needs justice. We cannot have peace until we have justice. And that's going to be my theme again for 2021. You know, I see it happening, but so much work needs to be done.
Well, it's interesting while you were thinking about justice, you know, I was with you with the Jays. I thought this is a year that I'm going to find joy in everything.
Lovely.
You know, joy and justice, when you think about it, these two words together, joy and justice, because when you're free, when you feel you're treated right, because that's what justice is all about, being treated right, no harm given, being put upon you. So I think mine would be, because I need more joy. You know, I tend to get a little bit heavy. You know, I don't know what it is. I need to lighten up. So I need joy. And also, I agree, justice. So for my listeners out there, email me, Elaine@womenspaces.com. Put your name on there. Put your phone number on there. And put your one word for the year. And I'm thinking maybe at the end of the year, if all goes well, I can't say for sure, I will pick three of those people and we'll have them on the air to talk about it. So just email me at Elaine@womenspaces.com. All you have to do is put your name, your one word for 2021, and your phone number, so I can call you and arrange if we're able to do that. I'm in the process of still producing it. Well, we've come to the end of our segment, Shekinah Black, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. And before we leave, is there any way they can get a hold of you? Do you have an email, and also the Peace and Justice website, and that's where you can find the newsletter, right?
Yes, I would say that's the best place for everything, including getting in contact with me. There is a place where you can submit a question or whatever there. So pjcsoco.org, soco.org, or you can look up Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. It should come up in your search. And that's the best way, you know, I keep that up to date, the website. And then, like I said, I do send a weekly e-newsletter. And I want to say one more thing. People need to get outside in the sun, even if there's not a lot of sun and you don't have a backyard or something. Please, and if you can't get out in the sun, please get outside.
Thank you, Shekinah, thank you so much for that suggestion. Thank you, Shekinah Black, Executive Director for the Peace and Justice Center, for this wonderful conversation and for sharing her experiences during these times. Reminder, tell your friends, Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. This is Elaine B. Holtz, and you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
And who is sure? Do courage, and who will surely make you stronger. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life,
the previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 14th, 2020.